This is a podcast from RTE Radio.
Come here, tell me about the porch.
Frances won't talk to me because she's in her pyjamas. Well, no, that's not quite true. She won't talk to me because it's too early in the day for a big idiot from RTE to come shoving a microphone on her face. I wanted to ask about the porch. You'll remember she was getting posh, as one of the neighbours said, because she was putting a porch on the front of the house. Well, it's finished. Pebble dashed to match the house, which, like the others on the terrace, is a three-bedroomed, built by the local authority in 1949. Just across and down from Francis's porch, one of these houses is on the market for over €300,000. There was a time people wanted to get out into the country, but now not so much. After all, you could live on the terrace without a car. You're a short walk from the town centre and the new shopping centres, and there are good schools nearby.
So you're happy with the porch, aren't you?
Anyway, the porch. It has a brown-framed sliding door with a gold-coloured lock and handle. You'll remember Frances said she was getting it built for added security, but it's also making the house warmer, which is good because the year is turning. Only a few weeks ago, everyone was out in short sleeves. That was the last time you heard Frances. She was standing across the road at the gate of Sheila's house, telling stories with Sheila, her sister Pat, and another neighbour, Ger.
Hello, monkey face!
Sheila now emerges from her house, well wrapped up in a brown checked wool jacket, firmly closed. She's off for a daily walk with a couple of friends, one of whom has a child in a buggy.
Me? Oh no, thanks.
Is that your own baby?
Yes, miracles do that.
Sheila's sister Pat is back in the States, and Ger, the other neighbour in that programme, is on her way down to Francis for a cup of coffee.
What?
Ger has a big day coming up. I'll tell you about it next week. And if Frances loves her porch, just down the road, Louise loves something else about her house.
I liked the hot press that's in here, and that nearly did it for me. I liked the fact it was painted white, and it had that old wood. You know, it had the sense of a place where you'll get your warm towel, no matter what's going on, anywhere else.
Louise is one of two new people I want to tell you about on the street today. Billy is the other. He doesn't live on the terrace. He's here today, knocking door to door.
Do you not take it personally if people tell you to buzz off?
No.
Do you not?
No.
I'd be hurt.
Aye.
Did you take it personally in the beginning?
Yes, I did, aye. Just took a wee bit of getting used to.
Going door to door is Billy's job, and he was jolted into it by a death over 30 years ago. Louise had a bit of a jolt lately too, but far, far more pleasant.
This is my first terraced house to live in.
She's standing at the door of her house on the terrace.
I didn't really like estates, to be honest, even if they were detached. I just felt it's for a family, or they were usually out of town a little bit, so I didn't like that.
Just inside the door, Louise has a new bike.
Black High Nelly.
Well, more recently bought than new.
It's a ladies' High Nelly as well, isn't it?
It is ladies, yeah. I was going to get one for Neil, but he said on his pyramid of needs, a bike doesn't feature, a High Nelly bike. But so here it is. It's quite high, as you see. The saddle looks really old, but it's incredibly comfortable.
It's a leather saddle.
It's leather saddle
and
with
it's a woman's saddle
springs.
Well.
It actually swivels a little bit too much. Because I'm not sure I'm supposed to be cycling now.
She's not supposed to be cycling because Louise is pregnant.
I did ask another girl today about her pregnancy dreams, but she said she was in a club in London and Christy Moore was in it and MC Hammer. And she got off with MC Hammer. But she just woke up very, very amused by the whole thing.
Billy's not having much success at the doors. A lot of people are out.
I'm giving these out to people. They're Christian literature.
Okay.
And it's to try and encourage people to read the Bible.
So it's a little leaflet and it says the last enemy on the front of it.
That's right. It's about death.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you want to have a look at it?
Sure. Tell me about it.
You can have it. It's just to try and encourage people to get ready, you know, to go out to meet God. Because that's going to happen to all of us. The only thing any one of us are sure of is that we're going to die someday.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get people to think about that.
So what do you say when you go knock on a door?
I just tell them, you know, I just said, look, I'm handing out this literature, I'm a Christian, and I'm a Bible believer, and I'm trying to encourage people to read the Bible.
And how long have you been doing this?
Almost 30 years.
Why did you decide to start doing it?
Well, I became a Bible believer. I went back in 1973. Changed my whole life for me. And I just came to the conclusion, if God can do that for me, then he can do it for other people as well.
What happened?
Okay, a boy in the job where I was working was shot dead. And he didn't get a chance. This guy just shot him. And whatever way he lived, that was how he died. He wasn't working on the job. He was actually working on a laundry van. He was working undercover for the army, but none of us knew that.
Looking back through the archives, you find that the laundry van was part of a scheme dreamt up by British Army intelligence. It collected laundry in the Twinbrook estate for a low-priced cleaning company. But before the laundry was cleaned, it was tested for traces of explosives. The van was driven by undercover British soldiers, and it also had a hidden compartment in the roof where two soldiers spied on passers-by. The IRA came to find out about the van and attacked it. The male soldier was killed, the female soldier he was working with escaped, and the attackers also fired into the hidden compartment in the roof, but there were no soldiers in it that day.
So were you there the day he was shot?
I just came along it after it happened.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd seen him go round. He worked with a girl in this van. And I tell you, it's a tragedy when you see that happening.
The soldier who died was Telford Stewart, and he was 21. His family claimed that military intelligence knew the attack was about to take place, but did nothing so as not to compromise the operation.
You know, when somebody seems to have their whole life in front of them, and I just felt, you know, if that would have happened to me today, I would have had no assurance at all that I would have gone to heaven.
But if you'd have lived a good life, if you'd have been a nice person, even if you'd never seen the Bible at all.
But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that God made a way for all of us to be in heaven. It was through his Son. Jesus Christ came into the world to pay the penalty for sin. That's the problem with everybody. The problem is a sin problem. And it's the same with me. I wasn't a particularly bad person now. I lived, as I would have thought then, quite a decent life. But I certainly had no assurance of going to heaven if I died. But way back in 1973, in my own bedroom in Lisburn in County Antrim, I just asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins and ask him to come into my life to be my saviour. And he did that. My life was changed.
In Louise's, there's tea and buns.
You know, that's a joke.
What?
The whole thing about eating for two.
You don't eat for two, do you?
No, you don't eat for two, no.
Right.
Because you won't be allowed to eat for one then afterwards. Somebody asked me, did I have any cravings? And I haven't really had many. You know, early on, if I wanted certain types of food, I just wanted them really badly, but they weren't too crazy. But he said the other night, your craving in your pregnancy has been GAA. And actually, I have gone a bit demented. I'm reading every item of news in GAA, which wouldn't normally have interested me before. I'm looking at club championships of counties that I've never even been to. I was crying when Kieran Whelan had to do with Ronan Garrity in the middle of the semi-final. Do you remember the Dublin-Mayo match? And then near the end, I was crying because I thought Mayo, maybe they weren't going to win. And when they did, I obviously went ecstatic. It could be related to the fact that I'm not doing any competitive sport. The last one was water polo, which is teeth, blood, and hair pulling and all sorts of things.
So it's like going into labour.
Did you want milk?
I'd love some milk. What was your knowledge of pregnancy when you were a kid?
I remember actually crossing the road exactly where I was in Tuam when I asked a friend about babies, or when a friend told me that if your parents love each other, they have a baby. And I remember thinking, that's really nice. That's how it happens. You know, I mean, I was kind of like, so that's it then. They love each other, and it just gave me a good feeling about the whole thing.
You're listening to The Terrace with Ronan Kelly. The Terrace is a street in a provincial town in Ireland, and this week we're hearing from Billy and Louise. Louise has moved here from the other side of the country to work in the local hospital. She and her partner Neil are expecting a baby. Billy is a door-to-door evangelist, originally from Northern Ireland, who decided to devote himself to religion after witnessing the aftermath of a shooting in Belfast in the early 70s. He realised then how quickly death can come to you and wants to encourage people to be prepared.
I don't take any money for anything I give.
How do you make your living? How do you?
I work for a mission called the Irish Mission, and it's part of the Presbyterian Church.
And they pay you?
Yes, they pay me. I won't be able to buy an aeroplane now, so I won't. But they pay me, and I live quite comfortably on what they pay me.
And what's your family situation? Are you a single man?
No, I'm not. I'm married. I'm married with two boys. They're both married. And I've got grandchildren. I'm expecting a third one very shortly.
All by yourself?
No, unfortunately not. I needed a bit of help, but that's what I did.
Yes. That's great. Good.
My wife at the moment is in China. She's in China at the moment giving out Bibles. She'll be there for 2 weeks. She was on the phone to me this morning. I was delighted to hear from her. Just to make sure she got there all right.
You know? So you'll miss her?
I certainly miss her, I do, aye. I'll be glad to see her back again.
Well, yeah. But you can cook and clean for yourself, yes, I imagine.
Yeah, my cooking skills are not great, mind you, but I can live, you know.
What was your first reaction when you found out?
It was kind of nervous, happy. It never felt like, I can't do this, or repugnant in any way. So I think that's good. Maybe I'm remembering my mother in that sense that she said from the moment she was pregnant, she felt good. Mm-hmm. Now, she did also say in latter years, you're giving up 20 years of your life. And she wasn't under any illusion about it. And she was very good on things like discipline, I suppose, and treats. Like, I suppose it's hard when you really love your child, it's hard to put limits on them as well. And I don't know, as I told you before about my granny who said, if you love your child, look at them sleeping. That's when you let your love pour out. Because during the day, it's not that you can't show your love, but you've got to be a little bit more strict.
Oh boy. Well, I've one more door to do, and that's me finish this whole area now.
Would you come back to this area again then?
Yes, I will, but I try to get round the whole town if I can.
And if somebody said to you when you called to the door, look it, why don't we just live our life good here now, be nice to other people, don't worry about the Bible, Jesus will look after you.
Well, I would just tell them the Bible doesn't teach that. See, that sounds good, and it's a lovely thought. Hmm. The truth about it is, it doesn't work out in life.
But Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what I try to do every day. But he also says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's me, and that's you.
There was a woman in getting treated. She had had a stroke, and her daughter, sometimes family members come to see how best to position them or help them walk or help them move or whatever. Our porter is Tom O'Brien. He asked me any names for the baby, Louise, and whatever. So I was saying, well, I don't know. I said, I'm thinking of Zico, Brazilian footballer and whatever. I'm not really thinking of it, but I like the sound of it. But the woman's daughter is just sitting in the corner and she's just going, psycho, more like it.
Next time on The Terrace, Jara's having a big birthday. She's only looking for one present. It's a bit unusual, but it's all she wants, and she reckons she's not going to get it. By the way, you may know that this programme is podcast, which means that if you go to a particular section on rte.ie, you can click on a button and download the programme to an MP3 player like an iPod and listen to it at some other stage. But what you may not know is that even if you don't have an MP3 player, if you do go to the podcast section of rte.ie, it's a pretty good place to listen to programmes online. So try it out, and I'll talk to you again next time.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio 1. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie/radio1.